This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:44. We're joined this morning by Avi Abelah. He's the voice of the Pulse of Israel broadcast program. Avi, thank you for joining us once again. How are you?
Thank God. Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. So we're taking a look at some of the big stories of the week in Israel. What definitely seems to be moving towards some form of activity is an invasion of Rafah. What is the story there? Where are we?
Yeah, it definitely looks like that, and the Israeli public is definitely anticipating it to finally take place, because it's been over a half a year. Israel has not finished the situation in Gaza like it should have, and the understanding is that we're still being pressured not to do it. I mean, if everyone pays attention to the news yesterday, it's interesting because for the first time ever, America and other world leaders, I think 17 other world leaders, all made a public statement calling on Hamas to free the hostages. Mm. And we're all Jews and we like to ask questions, and we just had the Passover Seder with the four questions. The major question should be, why did it take 200 days for world leaders to finally call out Hamas?
Or why are these hostages different to all other hostages, I guess you could ask.
Exactly. Perfect question. And that's the question mark that should get everyone's attention, because that defines the situation. Because for all this time, the world has been pressuring Israel. It's only after all the pressure of Israel and all the capitulation of Israel to all of Hamas's demands that the world realizes they can't squeeze us anymore. And they're left to only squeeze Hamas, who should have been the one squeezed since the beginning. Mm-hmm. But with that, I mean, I know from the ground here in Israel, I have friends of my son who were not home for Passover Seder because they were being trained to go into Rafah. From my son's units as well, they're all being told that they come back after Pesach and they're going in. So on the ground, the Israeli public and the Israeli soldiers know that this is going to happen, not a question of if, but a question of when. The question is, what pressure is being put upon Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israel to still try to stop us from doing this very necessary military activity to try to finally bring an end to the military capabilities of Hamas in Gaza and free however many of the captives still alive were able to free. But the pressure is still there. No question about it.
I have a bit of a different way of looking, maybe not a different way, but just something else to consider is, because I follow so closely on social media, I watch the pressure that is being mounted whenever Israel, I think, gets close to something important. We saw it with the Shifa Hospital. We saw the level of absolute hysteria how frantic the social media political pressure became around stopping Israel from going there because of what they were going to find, which was proof that the hostages had been there, proof that it was used as a base, proof of so many things. And to me, Rafah is definitely an example of that. It does concern me that Israel has been dissuaded by the pressure until now to go in. But the greater the pressure and the greater the level of hysteria, which we're already seeing it now in South African press. This morning on one of our websites called EWN, they have changed their photo. But earlier this morning when I went through news headlines, there was a photo of a man sitting with his hands on his head saying, you know, Gazans mourn the dead ahead of a Rafah invasion, you know, fearful of, and this very, very emotive type of a language to start building this immense pressure about to stop it. And that means that this is absolutely critical, isn't it?
100%. There's no way to end a war without defeating the enemy. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been clear. The final four divisions that act as divisions. Again, there's still Hamas guys running around the rest of the Gaza Strip. Unfortunately, unlike any other war, we didn't remain in the areas that we cleansed of Hamas. And we allowed the Gazans to return to the northern areas. So, of course, Hamas has re-embedded itself in up north, but they're not in their organized divisions. They're now individual little groups that are still able to terrorize. But we can't end this war and defeat Hamas militarily without ending their military threat against us, which the whole Israeli public knows they want to do more October 7th. So the military activity in Rafah is a must. It's not a question mark. And the insane thing is, like, believe it or not, anyone who does a little digging will see that Egypt actually built a city in the Sinai on the other side of Rafah. So there actually is a humanitarian solution for the people of Rafah or of Gaza. They built a huge city, but there's been no pressure whatsoever on Egypt to open up their border to allow Gazans to leave the war zone area of Gaza, which, again, that's another question that should be in the,
but why
in the
is
Gaza
that?
Passover Seder.
Why is there no pressure on Egypt?
Again, now we're going to go into understanding the situation, which is, it's putting the pieces together. Why is the world stopping Israel from doing what's necessary to defend itself? Why is there no pressure on Egypt that has a border that can easily allow Gazans to leave? And plenty of Gazans want to leave. Just over the past decade, over 250,000 Gazans have left Gaza, but they have to bribe Egyptian officials in order to get out, tens of thousands of dollars. Unfortunately, one comes to the conclusion that the world wants Gaza to remain a thorn in Israel's side. Again, you look at the other war conflicts in the world. We had Ukraine a number of years ago. The world celebrated taking in Ukrainian refugees. We had the Syria war, right? And with Assad butchering hundreds of thousands of his own Arab Muslim citizens, including many of Palestinian Arabs, there was no outcry from the world to help them or for Assad to stop massacring. No protests on college campuses about genocide. But yet there was a call for the world to take in Syrian refugees. All of a sudden, when it comes to our conflict and to the Arab Muslim enemy that is fighting us, the Jews and the Jewish state of Israel, we're the only conflict where refugees are not allowed to leave. So again, one has to ask why. Why is that? One comes to the conclusion that unfortunately there is a desire for this problem to remain, for this source of terror against Israel to remain. Otherwise, why are they so adamant in stopping Israel from doing what's necessary to stop it and stop refugees from being able to leave? And it's a very it's a sad fact to internalize, but everyone must ask that question. Why is this conflict different than any other conflict that refugees are not allowed to leave, and the one country that can allow them to leave easily is getting no pressure whatsoever from the world to allow that to happen? But again, most of the situation is focused on the humanitarian and all of the, again, what other war does the world pressure the victim to ensure a humanitarian situation before going on the military offensive? I'd love people so much to ask me that question.
It's just bizarre. It is just absolutely incredible. And then you've got, well, look, it's also a war with more misinformation than probably we've seen in pretty much any other. I see that there's this baseless claim, according to the IDF, that Israel dug mass graves for the Gaza hospital. It's even apparently even the White House is demanding Israel's answers, but it's patently obvious that this wasn't Israel but was Hamas. What is the latest with that?
Yeah, listen, I call. I don't know if you're in South Africa. You're familiar with a game called Whack-a-Mole, one of these like amusement park games that you have like this little hammer. And then little moles pop up, and you have to hit them down as they pop up.
With crocodiles.
You got them with crocodiles, right? So I'll whack a crocodile. I call the information war a whack a crocodile war, because every day they give us more lies. And Jewish organizations, instead of standing up for our rights and going on the offensive against the truth, what's going on, every day we have to deal with more lies that are made up out of thin air, that try to make Israel look out to be the bad guy, and that's the latest one. Again, those were mass graves dug by Hamas, and they take advantage of the fact that they have a mass grave and they can't find some of their bodies, whether that's true or not, and then they put all the blame on Israel, even though it's a total fabrication. And it's very—it's a very distraught situation when every day we're having to fight more lies. Because that's what it is. Every day you're online, you're on Twitter. I know you're on WhatsApp groups. Every day, what's the latest? People are dealing with what's the latest lie we now have to fight. And that's another way that Jews don't understand. We're always being put on the defensive and not able to properly stand up for ourselves on the offensive. Because I know South Africa, you're big soccer fans.
Mm-hmm.
In soccer, you can't win a game just playing defense. You have to score in order to win that game. Defense only takes you so far. And yet the Jewish world, every day, we're stuck playing 99.9% of our time on defense without the ability to score any offensive goals to actually win the game and bring about total victory to protect ourselves. Not just to end the war, but to protect 8 million citizens moving forward so that we never have another October 7th. And that's our reality. But while we have to deal with getting rid of those lies, we have to spend more time on going on the offensive and letting everyone know the facts. And I'll give you another fact that people, when they hear this, they're totally mind blown. Go back into the archives on October 8th, just 200 days ago, right? Protests against Israel began on October 8th, meaning you had worldwide support already being shown for Hamas immediately after the news of the massacre. Israel did not go on the military offensive for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm.
So there was no military offensive. People can't say, oh, all of this backlash against Israel is because of the military offensive. No, it started as pro-Hamas, pro-genocide against the Jews immediately after hearing the news of Jews being massacred without any a military offensive of Israel. And people have to internalize that and get themselves out of this whack-a-crocodile loop of thinking, oh, we look so bad, we're doing horrible things, and the world doesn't like us because of what we're doing. No, it has nothing to do with what we're doing. The world was happy to look down on us and support the massacre that took place against us. And again, not everyone, but it started. People have to go back and realize where it started. Without any connection to how we defended ourselves, it was just the knowledge that our enemies succeeded in massacring Jews, and the anti-Semites came out of their holes all over the world celebrating because they see the Jewish people as weak, and they go on the offensive. And it's time the Jews go on the offensive. We can't just play defense all the time. And part of the offensive is saying, we're home. This is our home for thousands of years. The Arabs come from all over the place. They haven't been here for thousands of years. They've been here maybe for hundreds of years. Anyone who wants to live in peace with us can live in peace with us, because we have Israeli Arab Muslim citizens that they live peacefully with Israel, and they have full rights and full equality, unlike anywhere else in the Arab Muslim Middle East. Israel is the only country where you can have a Sunni Muslim, a Shiite Muslim, a female Muslim, a gay Muslim, an atheist-born Muslim live with full equality and freedom as Jews and Christians and minorities. It's like, we have to stop being on the defensive and feeling bad and having to defend Israel. We have to be on the offense. Israel is a light into the nations in so many ways, and a light even to those minorities who are blessed to live in the Jewish state of Israel. We have to get our kids feeling proud and out of the loop of the whack of crocodile lies every day that make us feel embarrassed.
Avi Abelal, well said. A very, very interesting perspective. A very, very impassioned message this morning. Avi is the voice and of the Pulse of Israel broadcast program. It is 8 o'clock. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Hi, it's Barry Cohen from the Blue Agency. Israel is currently facing one of its biggest challenges ever. All of Klal Yisrael is praying for the safety of our soldiers and the return of the hostages. We hope and pray that our soldiers and security forces will prevail, and that they will all return home speedily and triumphant. We hold the hands of our clients and friends who have children serving in Tzahal, who are protecting Israel and Jews around the world. May Hashem protect us all.